Our gospel lesson today is from the 17th chapter of Luke, page 741 in your pew Bibles, if you want to follow along. It is a passage that is often read on Thanksgiving Eve service about the 10 lepers who were healed. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 lepers who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." I can't help but imagine if you had that miracle of the healing of the 10 lepers today and it was captured on eyewitness news, you would have some reporter saying, "You've just been cured for leprosy. What are you going to do?" And the answer would be, "I'm going to Disneyland. After all, it's the happiest place on earth, and if you're happy, that's where you're going to go." Or maybe they would say, "I'm going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings, and I'm going to go give high fives and drink and eat wings and just have a good time." You know, all the lepers that were healed were ecstatic. They were all happy. And part of it was just touch. You realize that if you were a leper, you never touched another human being. Imagine if you could never touch anybody else. And then on top of it, they were required in that day, if somebody got within 10 feet of you, you had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean, I am unclean." Imagine what that would do for your psyche. That anytime another human being came close to you, you had to say, "I am unclean." So not only did you have to deal with parts of your body, you know, there was no feeling, and you would bruise and break fingers and have sores and be painful, but the emotional damage of never being touched. You know, they've done those studies with babies that if they're not touched and held, they can have all their needs met, but we need human touch. And these lepers didn't get any of that. So you can imagine what that was like for them. You know, one of the things, we have a grief group on Mondays, and one of the things that is often talked about is the loss of touch. You know, for years you're with a spouse and touch is a regular part, and all of a sudden when you lose your spouse, people tend to keep their distance, and you don't get the touch you used to even. And one of the great things about this congregation is this is a congregation that touches. You know, if you are widowed or a widower, this is a place you can come where there is safe touching, where you can get a hug when people interact with you. And that's one of those great things. We need that. And so I can't even imagine being a leper and having those restrictions. You know, we just finished the last class on the 5 love languages, and my love language is touch. Wendy and I always hold hands when we go out walking. Touching, you know, if I go into the kitchen, she's cooking. I'll touch and give a kiss. Touch is important to me. And I think, what would it be like if for 10, 20, 30 years, you could never touch another human being? How awful that would be. So imagine if it was that awful, how joyful it was for them when they're on their way to the temple in Jerusalem and they discovered on the way they're cleansed, they're healed, they're ecstatic. And I can imagine the first thing they're going to do is seek out somebody to touch. You know, I haven't been able to touch somebody, some total stranger, just give me a hug, I need to touch somebody, I'm not unclean anymore. How great that would be. But the problem was they were all filled, as anybody who had been healed would be filled with joy, but only one came back and gave thanks to God. And we realized that thanksgiving is so important to our lives. To have a thankful heart. You know, there's a difference between being healed and being made well. All 10 were healed, but Jesus only told the one who came back, your faith has made you well. It's because your heart is filled with not just joy, but with thanksgiving and coming back to thank God. Well, next Sunday is Commitment Sunday, and we're going to ask all of the members to make a financial commitment to God through this congregation. Now, too often we think of stewardship as stewardship of money. And it is true, that's part of our stewardship. You know, people are surprised when I tell them there are actually more passages or verses in the Bible about money than there is about prayer. Do you realize that? There are more passages about money in the Bible than prayer. Because Jesus knew who's your master. And it's so easy for money to become our master. And so he wants us to be faithful in our use of money. That is part of it. But another part of stewardship is thanksgiving. What God wants is not only our money, God wants our praises. He wants thanksgiving. He wants us to be the one who returned and gave thanks for the blessings. God gives blessings to everybody. You know, the rain falls on the good and the evil alike. God gives blessings to everybody, but what he wants is to be thanked for those blessings. And so part of stewardship, what we owe to God is not only our money, but our thanks and praise. And so much of the Psalms and so much of the Scripture are all reasons why we have to thank God because of the many blessings he gives. And of course, in the Old Testament, most of those blessings focus on the gift of just creation itself. It's good. We are meant to enjoy the goodness that God gives to us and to care for the earth, but he wants us to enjoy this life. He made it good for us to enjoy. And so there are so many things that we can give thanks for. Wendy can give thanks for tomatoes. Now, I'm not so much thankful for tomatoes. I'm thankful for salad, but she could not get a piece of lettuce down her throat. So we all have different things, but it was made for us to enjoy. And it's all because God said, "This is good. This is good, and I want you to enjoy it in its goodness." And so part of stewardship is learning to give thanks to God for the many blessings that we have. And so next week, when we really get into the financial side, this week I want to lay the foundation that thanksgiving really is the foundation on which all good stewardship flows from. Because God wants us to be thankful. That whatever we give comes out of a thankful heart, comes out of our relationship with God. Now, at the heart of that thanksgiving, even in the Old Testament, you would think, oh, the Old Testament is all about law. But when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, there was a preamble. There was a, before he gave the commandments, God said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Therefore, here are these commandments." It's not just you're my, slaves and you better do what I tell you. He again says, "Look how I have loved you. I delivered you out of the house of slavery. I'm delivering you to the promised land. for what I have done, give me your thanks and your obedience that follows it. So even in the Old Testament, the foundation of our lives should be built on thanksgiving to God. So God desires our thanks and praise. Now, as Christian, our thanksgiving starts at the cross. All thanksgiving for Christians starts at the cross. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. So in a world that is fallen, in a world with we all suffer, we all get sick, we all struggle, God says, but on that cross, you all have the hope and promise of eternal life. As I've gotten older in life, you know, that passage from Paul means more and more to me. Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present world do not compare to the glories yet to be revealed. And I think, you know, we live on this earth for 70, 80, if we're lucky, 90, maybe if we're not so lucky, 90, it all depends. But for an eternity with God, an eternity of perfect harmony, an eternity of perfect love with God, and that's at the cross. So here and now, we have a future that's guaranteed by God. And that's the foundation for thanksgiving, that we recognize salvation is ours as a free gift from God. And so giving thanks for eternal salvation is good stewardship. It's what God wants from us. Our stewardship continues at the baptismal font. It's at the baptismal font that God says, you now are not just your parents' child, you're my child. You are heirs of salvation, you're a child of God, and you are loved by me each and every day. You know, you may or may not have had parents who have loved you. You know, yesterday I was at training for our next Kairos, and one of the speakers shared about his life, and he was a young black man, and his grandmother ran the drug house in the neighborhood. And his mother was a crack addict and an alcoholic. And he had a miserable life growing up. He was shot by a drive-by shooting, even though he wasn't involved in gangs. But he just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And yet, church was a big part of his life. And he said, despite all of those negative things, I always looked to God in my life. I said, wow, what a difference. He knew he was a child of God and how he was able to make choices in a place where most people end up making bad choices. But it was his relationship with God that carried him through. And he's got a powerful testimony to share with those men in prison. But each of us can testify we are children of God through baptisms, loved by God. You know, Martin Luther used to say, as soon as his feet hit the floor, as he got out of bed, he made the sign of the cross and he said, I am baptized. I'm a child of God. I'm loved by God. Imagine if you did that even before you got your first cup of coffee in the morning. I am a child of God. I am loved by God. You know, let's say that those phrases up there together, because I think we all need to hear those words of affirmation in our fallen world to hear the reality that God speaks. I am baptized. I am a child of God. I am loved by God. Let's say it again. I am baptized. I am a child of God. I am loved by God. Giving thanks for God's daily love in baptism is good stewardship. And our stewardship continues as we give thanks to God for the goodness of creation. While we are on this earth, he wants us to enjoy the goodness of this creation. Each day of creation, he ended the day by saying, and it is good. So there's nothing wrong with enjoying the physical pleasures of taste and touch and smell and sight. You know, living in Orange County, you know, we even get better stuff than most people do. You know, there was a pastor friend of mine that used to kid all the time. He says, yes, we're suffering for Jesus in the OC. But, you know, every day when I look at the weather report, and in the winter, you know, it's 5 below 0, it's 10, and here it's 72 degrees. And in the summer when I look at or call my brother or sister in Florida, and it's 90 degrees and 95% humidity, they turn their air on in March and they don't turn it off. It's on 24/7 till October. And I thank God for the beautiful weather we have. Every day I thank God. But, you know, the food that we eat, all the things that we enjoy. And so part of Thanksgiving is acknowledging God gave us a good creation to enjoy, but to give thanks to God for what he has given us. I wonder if anybody is willing to share something that you are particularly thankful for in your life. We've got a microphone. I'll do the old, you may not even remember Phil Donahue. I think most of us are old enough to remember him running up and down. Have we got, there we go. Anybody want to share something they are thankful for? Wendy, what are you thankful for coming up this Thanksgiving?
Like we don't both know. I am so thankful for our second grandchild who is due on Thanksgiving Day.
All right. So.
I am so thankful that my grandson is eight years cancer-free.
All right. Excellent. Yes. To be cured from cancer, 8 months. Who else wants to share a word of thanksgiving? Yeah, stand up so people can see, they can hear better too when you stand.
Well, the list is very, very long, but most especially right now, I'm thankful for my brand new grandson that was born 3 weeks ago, and my other little grandson who's 2.5 and is so precious. A gift from God.
They are, you know. Right now, our only grandchild is 16. Not a lot of hugs, not a lot of affirmation.
I'm thankful for my three grandchildren. They are wonderful to me, and they love me, and I thank God for everything he's done for me and taken care of me, and I love him.
Well, I don't have any grandchildren or great-grandchildren, but I am thankful that I have God in my life.
All right, very good. Thank you. Joey.
I'm thankful for my new sister-in-law, Jackie, and I am grateful to my brother.
All right. That's right. You had a...
I am thankful for you, Pastor Brian. Everybody?
Well, thank you. And I am thankful for this congregation. I'm much appreciated, and I know it, and thank you.
I am thankful that he has given me 90 years and all my grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
All right, 90 years. I'm glad she's still here. Let me go around.
Hi, I'm thankful for two things, my hug every Sunday from you, and I'm thankful for life.
All right. Yes, this is sometimes I actually complain. You don't have to hug every person in church, but this is a great congregation for giving affirmation and touch that we need. Anybody else want to? Anyway, just to stop and give thanks, you know? And just as we do that, it makes us all feel so good because that's what we were created for, to stop and give thanks to God. And so in this passage, all are healed. Only one is made well. Only one is whole. Because wholeness comes not only from enjoying the good things in life. Wholeness comes from recognizing where those gifts come from and stopping and giving thanks to God for them. And so remember that. Jesus only told the one, your faith has made you well. There's a difference between healing and wellness. Wellness is faith in a generous God. And so, thanksgiving is the foundation for good stewardship. We're thankful for salvation in the cross. We're thankful for God's love for us, calling us His children in baptism. We're thankful for the many things of this world that we get to enjoy, that God wants us to enjoy, because He created this world good. So may you have hearts that are filled with thanksgiving, because that is the foundation of a life that is well and a life that is lived well. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all the things that bring us joy, and even those things that cause us to struggle can drive us closer to you and remind us that in you there is life and salvation and love. Lord, fill our hearts, because the more we see you as a generous, giving God, the more our lives will be filled with generosity toward others and thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And our worship now continues with our offering.